I now can sing since I've been redeemed.
I'm on the everlasting rock.
I faith in Christ, my Redeemer King.
I'm on the everlasting rock.
This is the voice of hope.
Then roll, roll, billows roll. I'm on the everlasting rock of ages. Roll, roll, billows roll. I'm on the everlasting rock.
Years ago, a family was visiting Niagara Falls, and the father talks about their experience. He said it was spring, and ice was rushing down the river. As I viewed the large blocks of ice flowing toward the falls, I could see that there were dead fish frozen in the ice, and gulls by the score were riding down the river and feeding on those fish. As they came to the brink of the falls, their wings would go out, and they would escape from going over. And then I watched one gull which seemed to delay, and I wondered when it would leave. It was so engrossed in the fish, and when it finally came to the brink of the falls, sure enough, out went its powerful wings. The bird flapped and flapped and even lifted the chunk of ice out of the water, and I thought it would escape. But it had delayed too long, so that its feet had frozen into the ice. The weight of the ice was just too great, and the gull plunged into the icy water. Even though the gull had plenty of time to fly away, because it delayed, it paid the price. Now, think with me of this story in the terms of the Christian life. When we become too enthralled with the things of the world, they can bring us down and cause our spiritual death. The finest things this world has to offer become deadly when we become attached to them. If we can't give up the things of this world and focus on Christ, we won't be able to be used by Him. Our eyes must be upward on Christ rather than downward on this world.
I searched throughout the world and found no answers, for I ignored the one who is the truth. I thought that wealth and status brought fulfillment, but I found this world's promises untrue. I'm looking up for the things that really matter. I will not look to the things that pass away. My hope is fixed upon eternal treasures, so I'll just keep on looking up each day. So I'll just keep on looking up each day.
The world is still demanding my attention, but I don't see its glitter anymore. A higher place is giving my life purpose. Now I find myself
looking to the Lord. I'm looking up for the things that really matter.
I will not
look to the things that pass away.
My
hope is fixed upon eternal treasures. So I'll just keep on looking up each day.
If I look out upon the world, I lose my vision. If I look in on my own strength, I lose my mind.
If I look down the road ahead, I'll lose my courage.
So I'll look up to Christ till my faith becomes sight.
I'm looking
up for the things that really matter.
I will not
look to the things that pass away.
My
hope is fixed upon eternal treasures. So I'll just keep on looking up each day.
My hope
is fixed upon eternal treasures. So I'll just keep on looking up each day. Looking up each day.
Thank you, men, for that important reminder. And thank you, my friend, for tuning in today for the Voice of Hope. I'm J. Mark Horst. and it's my privilege to lead our study from God's Word each time we're together. If you're joining us for the first time, I give you a special welcome. The program you're listening to is produced by Heralds of Hope. We're an international gospel media ministry. Our vision is to use media to make disciples of Jesus Christ to accomplish the Great Commission in our lifetime. We use various technologies to make our Bible teaching programs available to people around the world in English and 21 other languages. We're excited about the doors of opportunity God is opening to us for expanded outreach in some of the most unreached areas of the world. One of those areas is Central Asia, and I'm thinking particularly of Afghanistan. As you know, U.S. military forces have finally left that country, and now the Taliban is quickly and violently reasserting their control over the country. The Taliban are primarily ethnic Pashtuns, and they speak the Pashto language. We have the privilege of broadcasting in the Pashto language into Afghanistan and Pakistan. This region of the world has known poverty and violence for centuries. The only way they're going to achieve lasting peace is if they come to know the Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ. And that's where our Bible teaching programs come in. God has promised that His Word, when it is sent out, will not return to Him empty. It will accomplish what He sends it to do. Now, stay tuned for my teaching from Colossians chapter 3. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, the Apostle Paul wrote these familiar words, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind." The word transformed is from the Greek word metamorphuo. Our English word, metamorphosis, comes from this Greek word. One of the meanings of metamorphosis is the developmental change in the form of structure of a creature. Think of a butterfly or a frog. That change occurs after birth or hatching. I'm sure you'll agree with me that most insect larvae are not very appealing to look at. A beautiful, brightly colored butterfly is much more attractive than an ugly grub or a worm, right? During the month of June, here in the eastern United States, we had an infestation of the 17-year cicada. If you're not familiar with them, let me tell you just a little bit. If you would come to our area, you would notice that a lot of the tips of tree branches are either dead or dying. That's because the adult female cicadas slit the bark on these tender new growth shoots in order to lay their eggs. This damage to the trees is one of the things that I remember about the previous infestation we had 17 years ago in 2004. And then when those eggs of the cicada hatch, they fall to the ground and the larvae burrow into the soil around the base of the tree. And there they stay for 17 years, feeding off the juices from the roots of the tree. In the hatch year, like this year, when the soil temperature reaches 64 degrees Fahrenheit at a depth of 8 inches, the larvae or the grubs begin to go through this process of metamorphosis. They come out of the ground and eventually become the adult flying cicadas. Now, I can't say that the adult cicadas are beautiful, but they certainly look better than the larvae. While Paul doesn't use the word metamorphuo in his letter to the Colossians, he does use the cycle of death and resurrection to show the changes that take place in the life of a person who embraces Christ. I've said repeatedly in our study from Colossians that the emphasis of this letter is the preeminence of Christ. So in the first two chapters, Paul addresses the doctrinal and theological aspects of Christ's preeminence. He deals with the nature of Jesus' person, His deity, His provision for our salvation, and more. Now, in chapter 3, he moves to the practical application of what the preeminence of Christ looks like in the life of an individual believer. In my teaching from the opening chapters, and especially from chapter 2, I stated emphatically that there is nothing you and I can add to Christ in order to secure our salvation. The Scripture is clear. Our salvation is not by works of righteousness which we've done, but it is given to us by the mercy of God. Titus chapter 3 and verse 5 is just one verse that supports this truth. If you recall, I used the term solus Christus, Christ alone. Some Bible teachers have concluded from this important truth that you and I have no choice or responsibility in the matter of our salvation. And here I respectfully disagree. The offer of salvation is available to all humanity. So, while we can't do anything to earn or merit our salvation, we can accept or reject the offer. And remember, while salvation is important, it's just the beginning. Jesus is calling each of us to be his disciples, his followers, and that, my friend, is a lifelong commitment. In addition, there are those who say that once a person is saved, they can never lose their salvation. I agree. No one can take my relationship with the Lord away from me, whether it's another human being or a demonic spirit. And I also can't mistakenly lay down that relationship somewhere and forget where I put it. However, I do believe I can turn my back on God and walk away from Him. I can harden my heart to His voice, and I can refuse to obey His commands. Am I still saved? I don't know the limits of God's mercy, but I'll tell you this, I don't want to test them. The Bible is clear that those who practice sin as a lifestyle will not inherit the kingdom. And I don't want to be anywhere near that dividing line. There are so many portions of Scripture that warn us about the danger of unbelief or turning away from following Christ. Now, as we begin studying chapter 3, Paul teaches us what the preeminence of Christ looks like in the lives of individual believers. As we begin, I will read the text, Colossians 3, 1-7, and then we will explore it under the title, Risen with Christ. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth: fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. This text reveals the significant changes that result from our being risen with Christ. The first significant change is our desires. Now, verse 1 begins with the word if, and in our minds, the word if is a word of possibility. But that's not what Paul is saying. What we have here is called a condition of the first class assumed as true. And we have a similar construction in Colossians 2:20, and the other half of the picture of baptism, being buried with Christ, in Colossians 2:12. So, a more literal translation of this first phrase in verse 1 is, in view of the fact that you have been raised with Christ. You see, there's no doubt or question here. Chapter 2, verse 12 speaks of being buried with Christ in baptism, and this verse speaks about the second part of baptism, being raised with Christ in newness of life. Jesus' resurrection was a physical one. His body came out of the grave. Ours is a spiritual resurrection, a metamorphosis, a transformation of the core of our being. And what is to be the result of our being raised with Christ? We are to seek the things that are above. But what does that mean? The next part of the sentence explains that these things we should seek are present where Christ is seated at God's right hand. So this resurrection gives us new life and a new focus on heavenly things. This new life in Christ is potential based on Jesus' death and resurrection. It becomes actual for us when we embrace Christ as Savior and Master. I found some interesting details in this text. For example, the word things is emphatic in the original. It contrasts the above things or the heavenly things with the things of earth, the things, incidentally, that the false teachers here in Colossae were emphasizing. And so this is a direct pushback against their error. In addition, the idea expressed here is that the things above we are to be constantly seeking. So this isn't an individual act, it's rather a continual process of making proper choices moment by moment. To me, this illustrates the practical striving of a true disciple of Jesus Christ. This focus on the things above is not a prerequisite or a requirement for salvation. Instead, Paul says it is proof that one is genuinely born again. It's a cause and effect situation. If you are truly risen with Christ, then you will desire the things above. Paul states in Romans chapter 6, verse 7, that our death with Christ, symbolized in baptism, sets us free from sinful desire as the controlling force in our lives. Now that we understand what Paul is saying, what are those heavenly things that we should seek? What's the environment like where Christ is seated at God's right hand? Incidentally, Paul's statement that Christ is seated at God's right hand is a refutation of the Gnostic denial of Christ's deity. Being seated at someone's right hand is a place of privilege. It's a place of responsibility and authority. But you know, it is also a place of submission. It is not the same as sitting on the throne. Jesus' entire earthly ministry was designed to show us how to seek heavenly things. If you recall, he spurned the honor of the religious world and the allurements of the secular world in pursuit of his Father's will and his Father's glory. He taught us to be content with just the basic necessities of life. And he gave freely of his time and his energy to others. He never sought personal reward. His seeking of heavenly things motivated him to spend significant time in prayer, in communion with his heavenly Father. And he used the natural things of the world to point others to his Father, things like water and bread and fish, sheep and coins, and so on. In none of his actions was Jesus striving to accumulate earthly wealth or position. His sole desire was the glory of his Father. Now, I don't know about you, but I find this text deeply challenging and convicting. I must admit that too often my desires are more earth-focused than heaven-focused. I have been buried with Christ, and I have been raised with him in newness of life, but I still live in the body with its desires and appetites. And I find it a continuing struggle to spend significant amounts of time in prayer, not because I don't have time, but because I allow other choices to crowd it out. So I want the Spirit of God to continue changing my desires to reflect the risen Christ more clearly. The second significant change, then, that results from our being risen with Christ is our deliberation. Deliberation is another word for our thoughts and the way we think. What are you thinking about? When your mind isn't occupied with your daily responsibilities, where does it go? What are the things you're passionate about? Being raised with Christ should impact our thoughts, our deliberations. Notice there's some overlap between this change and the previous one, our desires and our thoughts. That's natural because it's difficult to completely separate our thoughts and our actions. But Paul does seem to emphasize the action of seeking in verse 1, and then the thought processes that motivate those actions here in verse 2. Someone has said, you must not only seek heaven, but you must think heaven too. The word affection speaks not only of the ability to think, but the moral considerations that are part of the thinking process. The impact of the will is also part of the picture here. You know, sometimes we talk about a person's mindset. What we really mean is the way they process the information they receive, the deliberations they use to reach a conclusion. The scriptures use a different word when they refer to the mind as simply the organ of perception. So we are to keep on setting our thoughts on things that are above in contrast to the things that are on the earth. In other words, keep on thinking about the things that are above. And as I said earlier, this is the inward impulse and disposition of the mind. The emphasis in verse 1 is on the practical results of being risen with Christ. Here, the emphasis is on how being risen with Christ changes the way you and I think. I'm reminded of Jesus' interaction with his disciples in Mark chapter 8 and verses 31 to 33. He was telling them about the things he was going to suffer at the hands of the Jewish leaders, how he would be crucified and then rise again. If you recall, Peter took Jesus aside and he began to rebuke him. He was protesting that these things wouldn't happen to Jesus. But then Jesus rebuked Peter by saying, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man." Like Peter, you and I need to focus on things above more than on the things that pertain only to this life. And Psalm 1 and verse 2 gives us a picture of what this looks like. "The godly man's delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night." Now, meditation is sometimes compared to rumination. A class of animals that are ruminants have a unique digestive system. They graze or take in food, and it goes into what we might call, for lack of a better term, the first stomach. But then, when they've eaten enough and they're in a state of relaxation, that partially chewed food is regurgitated a little at a time, and it's chewed some more. There's additional nutrition gained from the food through this process. In a similar way, we should be filling our minds with Scripture, turning it over and over in our thoughts, savoring its richness. Think on heavenly things instead of things that are limited to earth and this life. The false teachers in Colossae were focused on earthly things, and they were trying to impress God with their self-imposed physical discipline. Most of you have probably heard the statement, "You are what you eat." But it's also true that you are what you think. So what you think matters. Now, I want to be sure you understand me. It isn't wrong to think about earthly things. In fact, we have to do that out of necessity. We need to earn a living, pay the electric bill, plan for the future, prepare for the time when our earning power decreases. These things aren't sinful unless we become preoccupied with them and worry about them. Unless they take precedence over the things above. And this is often where the struggle is for me. Where is that balance? I assume you can identify. What really needs to happen is that we think consciously about how we can use earthly things to advance heavenly things. How can I lay up treasure in heaven? How can I use the resources that God has given me, whatever those are, to bless others and to bring him glory? My friend, I hate to interrupt, but we're almost out of time for today's teaching. Lord willing, we'll return next week to finish this important study.
Fill my well with living water. Fill my well, this hour I pray. I would share his cup of blessing. Fill my well this hour, I pray. Deeps of mercy never failing, he has promised for each one. Just to share with all his goodness, through each day to set of sun. Fill my well with living water. Fill my well, this hour I pray. I would share with all the thirsty. Fill my well, this hour I pray. Not to boast that
applauded's wealth or fame,
but to share,
just to share,
living water,
living water
of thy name.
My friend, I hope this teaching has blessed you. If you'd like a copy of the complete teaching on this text, it's available either in print or on an audio CD. You can request your CD or printed copy of this complete teaching, Risen with Christ, by using our email address, hope@heraldsofhope.org, or by calling our toll-free number, 866-960-0292. Or you can mail your request to the Voice of Hope, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. And remember, you can request a copy of the teaching titled Risen with Christ, either in print or on an audio CD. To review today's program or to listen to previous broadcasts, log on to our website, heraldsofhope.org, and you can listen at your convenience. If you want to connect with us on social media, just search for Heralds of Hope and follow us on our various social media platforms. Once again, you may contact us by email at this address, hope@heraldsofhope.org. By mail, The Voice of Hope, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Or pick up your phone and call us toll-free at 866-960-0292 and ask for your copy of the teaching, Risen with Christ. If you'd like to help support this ministry financially, you can include a gift with your letter or donate securely online at heraldsofhope.org or by calling our toll-free number, 866-960-0292. Truly, it is God's grace, accompanied by your fervent prayers and your generous financial support, that will enable the Voice of Hope to be on the air until Jesus comes in the air. Now, friend, I hope you'll join me next week as we continue our study, Risen with Christ. And until we meet again,